Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, November the 15th, 2015.
Let's stand together this morning. It's great to have you with us and encourage you to sing and worship with us as we sing, Oh, 4,000 Tongues to Sing.
Shall I be? I know the
God, we are so thankful that you are alive. We're thankful that you work in our lives each and every day. May we be faithful in carrying your gospel. Lord, as the song says that we're about to sing, send me. Send us into our neighborhoods, even into our families this season and Thanksgiving and Christmas. So many opportunities, may we not waste them. May we be bold and courageous in our witness for you, Almighty God and the Savior Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated.
Take
Today. As Mike mentioned earlier, we'll take the offering toward the end of the service this morning. Pastor Ben's going to be talking about faith promise, and I hope that our hearts will be challenged this morning as we think about giving, but also possibly about going and sending, as the song says, Lord, please send me. Would you stand with me as we continue in worship? Lord, I offer my life to you, all that I am.
All that I am.
Lord, I offer my life.
Lord, I offer my life.
Fun to be back and get to say good morning here. I didn't know the languages I was speaking when I said good morning last time I preached. That was in Esztergom, Hungary, and I was preaching about the same time that Roy Seals was preaching here, and it kind of worked out as I talked with Mark Patton over there that I ended up preaching a different version of the same message that I preached here the Sunday before I left, so I was familiar with it. The problem was that Judith, I don't know if you guys know that she does this. She comes in every Thursday, and I practice my messages ahead of time, and she tells me all the things I should be taking out of them so I don't sound foolish. But that means, too, that let's see, I preached that morning in a town called Tata, and I preached that evening, and I preached it here, plus the practice. That was the fourth time that she had heard that message, and she stayed awake that time, too. It was pretty good. So I was really impressed with her. But it's been a great day already. Really enjoyed the missions conference that's been going on around here. And then Fred, I don't know if you guys know what he has done to all of us today, but those songs chosen, I mean, do we think about what it is that we're singing? Lord, send me, and I will raise your banner high. Do we mean those kind of things when we sing them, that we're raising the banner of the Lord? Not just our missionaries that we've talked about in the missions conference, but all of us. Are we raising that banner high wherever it is that the Lord may send us? You know, Judith and I did spend about 12 days traveling through Europe, and I think a lot of times when you hear that, it's like, wow, what a great vacation. And it was a really good time, but it really wasn't a vacation. I mean, there were elements that were kind of like that, but we were just constantly moving. We saw, I think we counted up, it was like 10 different missionary families, and we were in, oh, I forgot to count this too. If you count the airport in Paris, we were in 6 different countries. One of those countries for about 10 minutes as we just drove across the bridge to say that we had been in Slovakia. But we were constantly on the move and got pretty tiring at some points, but it was absolutely incredible. Just a wonderful time with the missionaries. And we enjoyed seeing the cities where our missionaries served, and they were passionate about those places too. They love the cities and they love the people there. We stepped out our first stop was in Italy, up in a town called Caselle with Melissa Baccarello. And we stepped out on the balcony of her apartment. And she doesn't live in any kind of lavish place. But when you step out on the balcony, you kind of forget all that. Because just off slightly in the distance, you see the Alps out there, snow covered even already. And it was just beautiful there. And we had saw some great architecture and just some beautiful areas of the city and had some incredible food. The gelato, and I love the hot chocolate there. It's basically just melted chocolate, and you pour some whipped cream into it. All right, that works. The cool thing was, now, how many of y'all are familiar with Melissa Baccarella? I know she was here for a while, so most of you, how many of you have experienced her cooking? Mm-hmm. We took her out for a wonderful meal. I say a wonderful, wonderful meal. I'm sure it was a little bit nicer restaurant that we took her to for lunch on the Wednesday that we were there. It paled in comparison to what she made at her house. Like, we kept trying to say, no, we want to take you out. And she kept cooking. And oh my goodness, it was delicious. And it was just wonderful. And then we went on to Budapest. And Judith had spent a year there before when she was in college. So from the time that she saw the lights outside of the plane and she's pointing to, oh, there's that thing and that thing and that thing. I mean, just like the grin hasn't left her face yet. And it was wonderful to get to go around and see the places that she had experienced. But Joel Dix and others took us and went out with us as well. But Joel was there with us even more time. And just to hear his passion and how much he's really gotten to know about the city already and just how much he loves it. He goes running through the city, weird, one of those weird running people. But he goes and does that about every day. And just knowing just his passion for that was wonderful. And it's just this stunning history, city with incredible history. And we got to learn a lot about the history. Steve Winget, that guy knows or pretends to know a lot about Hungarian history. And a lot of it he did know. Now, there was one thing I did call him out on as we stood on Castle Hill and he's telling us about this one kind of obscure building and the history of this building. And I just kind of look over the building and I see this plaque in the Hungarian. He's like, you just read that plaque to me, didn't you? Uh-huh. Yeah, so we know where Steve gets his history there. But we had some great times. We saw some very odd relics over there in a basilica. They have the mummified right hand of King Stephen. It's a little weird and every bit as weird as it sounds. His skull is kept up in Esztergom where we went later. We didn't go in to see it. It was closed at the time. And then we got on to Germany. And when I talk about food, I loved the Italian food and Melissa's a great cook. But let me tell you, we took the beaches out on Thursday night for dinner. That was one of the things the deacon said, you got to take everyone out for a nice dinner. It was an incredible restaurant. There were times where Judith and I questioned if they were taking us out in the middle of nowhere to kill us and bury us. This place was so obscure, I don't know how they found it, but it was wonderful. I got a salad. Now, you may think, oh, okay, Pastor Ben's being good, trying to be healthy. Daylin got the same salad, but the first couple of words were feta wrapped in bacon. That's a salad in Germany. Yeah, this is my kind of place. And y'all know, here's a question I get more than any other, because I think you guys may have figured me out already, but you know the question I get the most? How fast did you go? Because we got to hit the Autobahn, and here's the thing. Paul over here is laughing because I texted him from Germany, and I was so disappointed. We got in the car. It's 6 feet. I love, you know, having the little manual, but there's a little sticker on the window that says it's limited on its speed because of snow tires, and it was limited to 210 kilometers per hour, and I did every bit of that, and it was fun. It was the quickest we've ever made it to an airport, and we had a blast. But Paul still, I guess, did 140 in Dwayne's dad's Camry. Is that what it was? I'm going back. We gotta fix this. If ever the Lord, if I say send me, and the Lord sends me into foreign missions, I am praying it is Germany. It is just my kind of place. Feta wrapped in bacon and no speed limits is the default on the highway. It was great. But as much as I loved all of those things, the beauty of the cities and the landscapes and driving fast and having great food, that all absolutely paled in comparison. And I'm not just saying this because I have to, but it paled in comparison to getting to know the missionaries more deeply. We learned about the work that they're doing. We learned about their passion for the places that they're doing that work. And we saw how God is using them and got to experience some of that and meeting pastors in the area. And we got to know them as people. I think a lot of times we hear about missionaries, and we even, if we're looking at their reports and praying for them, they can seem like this kind of distant thing. But then getting to know them, they're people. And we know that, but just getting to know them as those people was just wonderful. And the trip really was a time for me to help kind of think through some priorities in my own life and is how I lead my family and how I lead a church. And so in 2016, how is the Lord calling us, me as a family, to use my resources that he's given me, and for the church as well? How are we supposed to be using those in 2016? And that has to do, I say resources, and we automatically start thinking about finances, but it's more than that. It's finances. It's how am I going to use my time? How am I going to use my energy? How are my thoughts going to be consumed in this next year? What's going to be on my mind? What's going to be important to me, to this church? And what does all of that have to do with this faith promise thing that we're talking about today? What is a faith promise? We're going to look in Philippians chapter 4 and try and figure some of this out. In Philippians 4, verse 10, it gives us a little bit of a hint. It says, Paul is writing here to the church in Philippi, and he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity." So Paul here, he's rejoicing, he's taking joy, he's loving this because other believers are caring about him and his ministry. Other believers are getting involved in what the Lord is doing through him. But notice that it wasn't the gift itself that was the cause for rejoicing. It was their care. It says there in verse 10, it was your concern for me. Their gift was a means of showing concern for Paul. And it's the same for us with our missionaries. Everyone that we visited, every one of them said that they brag about Grace Baptist Church, this Grace Baptist Church, to other missionaries and to other churches, just talking about how great we do at supporting them. And it's not because of the amount, although from what I see and what I've experienced, the amount that we give to our missionaries is great. It's very strong. But what they were bragging about the most was the fact that we genuinely care for them. Not just in sending finances, but in our relationships and our connection to them and the way that we pray for them. And we actually know them. And there were these expressions of joy from every one of them that we've sent and all of those that we support. And so when you look at this verse here in verse 10, that verse suggests that the Philippians were ready to give. They were ready and just waiting for an opportunity. They just needed a means. They were prepared ahead of time to give. This wasn't a thing where they heard a need and boom, I'm just going to throw it out there. Or, you know what, the Lord has given me an extra blessing right now, so I'm going to go ahead and put that out. But they are prepared. They were ready to give and just waiting for that opportunity. And you see the same thing in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 about where Paul's there talking about giving to another church that's in need. They prepared ahead of time. They were ready to give when the time came. And that's what we do in a faith promise. A faith promise is a means of participating in God's kingdom plans. A faith promise is a means of caring for missionaries and doing so intentionally. There are other ways to care for them, but this is kind of planning ahead and being prepared to care for missionaries. There's four main ways I noticed in this passage to show that care for the missionaries. See, Paul said that he didn't really experience the care. He knew that they cared for them, but he didn't experience it until they actually had the opportunity. So I want to tell you about some opportunities that we have to be able to care for missionaries. And the first way that we do that is to give. And I think that's what traditionally comes up when we think about faith promise or missions. One of the first things that comes to mind is giving. Verses 11 and 12. Not that I speak from want. This is Paul still talking here. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. So there's kind of this clear precedence that we see in this passage of a local church, that church at Philippi, giving to a missionary, Paul. But it's never about the money itself. At least it shouldn't be. You know, we don't want missionaries going into the field who are out there just to make money. We don't want their primary concern to be finances. I mean, yes, they have to be concerned with that so they can bring things in to do the ministry, but that shouldn't be top on the list. It's never about the money itself. Paul, our missionaries, they learn to be content in any circumstances. There's abundance and then there's poverty, and either one of those can be burdens, and I would bet that most of us say, I would love to have the burden of abundance, right? That's just kind of where we tend to be. But either one of those, when it's abundance, there may be that burden of being tempted to not rely on the Lord, or to not use that abundance for His glory. And in poverty, there's, you know, as it says in the Proverbs, you know, that don't give me so much that I would, you know, be in want and then go and steal, but there's the stress that kind of goes with that poverty, and even just the physical despair that can go with that. The point is to serve and to be content no matter what circumstances you're in. And it's about God. It's not about the money or your standard of living. I asked every missionary as we went around to them, we asked them how we could pray for them, and we asked them about their needs, and not one of them mentioned financial support unless we specifically asked them about it. And I did. But sometimes you can just see their need. When you see the way that they're living, you see some of the vehicles maybe that some of them are driving or some of the places where they're living. Now, for the folks we were with, they live in decent places. They're not extravagant, but they're not struggling either, and that's wonderful. But you can see sometimes some of those needs, and some places where people go, they don't live like many of us do here, and in some places it's really expensive. Some places, decent places to live just aren't even available. But while missionaries like Paul, they're going to be content in humble means or with a lot, why would we expect them to live with poverty, with humble means? Sometimes we get this idea in our heads about suffering for Jesus. I got a text from my dad because apparently he forgot that I was going to be out of the country. I actually got a call and then texted him back and said, I can't call. That costs a lot of money. And so he texted back, and I think one of the pastors he works with, and he was just joking, so I don't blame him for this. He said, you know, because we said, oh, we're in Italy. And he says, oh, suffering for Jesus, huh? And so sometimes we get this idea in our heads that to be a missionary, you're supposed to go out and suffer, that you're not really a missionary unless you're in the far reaches of South America or Africa, living in a hut or a tent, like the hunt would be if you're rich. You know, sometimes we have that concept in mind, but there's incredible work going on. We don't want the people that we support or send, or any missionaries, any person for that matter, to have to suffer through those things. Why would we expect some people to sacrifice, but not others? Why would we expect that we're going to send people onto the mission field and expect you have to suffer out there on the field while we have this high standard of living here? As if there's some extra calling or extra benefit to that. So, faith promise is a means of caring for missionaries, and it's how we give to missionaries here at Grace. And the way that we give, this faith promise thing that we talk about, this is giving beyond your regular offerings or what some may refer to as a tithe. And it's beyond that. It's beyond the general fund giving that we have here at the church. And it goes, our faith promise goes directly to missions. There's no money taken off the top for, or any part, for any administrative fees here. It is simply we pass these things through onto our missionaries. And now there's another way of giving. You've got faith promise and you've got regular missions giving that both go to that same pot. that we kind of send out to mission agencies and the missionaries that we send and support here. Faith promise, the difference between faith promise and a regular missions giving is that faith promise is the only thing we can budget on. That's what we plan to have coming in, and that's how we support our missionaries. On the mission side, that's money that comes up. You know, maybe you have some kind of windfall and you want to give to missions. It's still going to go directly to that fund, but that's not something that we can say, okay, we know we have this amount so we can take on new people or increase and those kind of things. And hopefully that's somewhat clear. If not, I don't have a lot of time, but you can talk to me about it afterward. But it goes directly to missions. There is also another part of our budget that comes from our regular offering that goes toward other mission kind of giving. If some of you are going on a mission trip, it would come from some of the, you know, the general missions, those kind of things, and things that we do as a church. That comes from our regular offering as well. So there's lots of ways that we give to missions. But what we're talking about with this faith promise is that part that is, as far as the giving, the financial giving, the part that you set aside and you commit over the next year. And we'll talk about the increments here in a little bit. This is what we're going to give to missions as a family or as an individual. And that helps us to prepare. But that's not the only thing. That's not the only way that we make a faith promise that we support missionaries. We also need to connect with them. Look at Philippians 4, verses 14 through 17. Paul says, "Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account." You can tell that there's kind of this familiarity between Paul and the church at Philippi. He's familiar with the people, and they're familiar with him. They didn't just send money, but it says in there that they shared in affliction. They knew what was going on with them. Now listen, they may not have been able to fully support all of his needs. And I will tell you, as great as what we do is for our missionaries, they can't live on what we do to support them. We're not able to meet all of their needs, but we support them in any way that we can. This church at Philippi, they were there for Paul. They were there to give to him, but you can tell in there that they were there beyond giving. They knew what was going on with this guy. They were looking at what was happening in his life. They were connected to him. They knew that other churches weren't giving, at least at that time. They knew that he had needs. They knew about his troubles and his trials, and they were there to help him out. And we need to be there for our missionaries in the same way, beyond the finances, but to be there to connect with him and know what's going on in their lives. They were familiar with Paul's circumstances, his needs, and his lack of support. They were keeping up with him beyond just, you know, their own needs and saying, okay, Well, Paul, you need to come and do this for us. They knew more than that. It says, you yourselves know. They knew what was happening in his ministry. There's true care that you see from the Philippian church to Paul. And we've got to keep in touch with our missionaries as well. When we were on the trip there, when we were with our missionaries, it felt like being at Grace. It was the only time, I think, that I've really been overseas. And in a lot of ways, it just kind of felt like home away from home. And some of these people, we had met some of them as they had been here over the summer, and we got to talk with them or, you know, just have a quick meal. But we got to Italy and then to Hungary, and we stayed with Melissa Baccarella in Italy, and we stayed with Joel and Debbie Dix in Hungary. I'd never met those people. And we just go and we stay in their house. So it was like we had just known them forever, like we had grown up together, just kind of that connection because of how this church is connected to them. And there was this true connection with them, and they talked about how much that meant to them, that Grace is a church that is connected to them as people. I mean, let's just imagine how lonely it can be sometimes to be on the mission field. And there, in this verse, it says that nobody gave to Paul except for the Philippians. After all that he had done to go out and to take the message of the gospel, to be the first one to take that message to these people, and they didn't share in his ministry to others. And sometimes it's, and they did eventually, I think, but sometimes it's with missionaries and with anybody, can be kind of this out of sight, out of mind kind of thing, right? That once the person is gone and they're not there with you every Sunday morning, you kind of start to forget about them a little bit, unless you're very intentional about connecting and making those relationships. You know, Judith's brother and his family live overseas in the Middle East, and we have to be very intentional to the point of, because the time difference is, such that there's only a couple of hour window in the day on either end where we can actually talk to them. We've got to be very intentional about trying to connect with him. And it's the same for any of our missionaries. And so it's that out of sight, out of mind thing, but then they're in these other countries too. So there's kind of differences in language. And now myself, I know some languages are tough. People say Hungarian is difficult to learn. I actually mastered it while I was there. And people laugh when I say that. Listen, I know the word for gallbladder. Tell me I haven't mastered the language. The word is EPA. It's in case you go on a medical trip there. But now, one of the pastors was talking about his mother-in-law having her gallbladder removed. And so that's a word I know in Hungarian. And I do know, too, that the word for happy in Bulgarian is bulldog. Mm-hmm. There we go. That's how it goes. All right. We've got to be able to support these people, though, by connecting with them the best way that we can. I mean, they're distant from family and from other loved ones. And sometimes, while there's this kind of this dynamic of where they are in the field is home, but then back here is home, too. And especially in those initial years or when times get tough, you kind of start to long for that old home at times. We've got to be able to support them. And listen, we as a church and just people in general, we are more equipped than ever to be able to connect with missionaries. How many of y'all have an iPhone? Not just a smartphone, but an iPhone. Okay. You have that thing on there, FaceTime? I could right now, except for I left my phone sitting down there, I could just hop on and talk to the missionaries, any of them who have an iPhone, right there, face-to-face, across the world. Right now is a fine time to do that for anyone in Europe because it's just getting toward evening there at a decent hour. But even if you don't have that, you've got Skype that you can put onto any phone and do those kind of things. Facebook people out here, send a message to them anytime. Listen, and then the Dicks in particular, they've got Vonage, so they've got a local phone number that you can just make a call to them over there. You can set up a time that they can call you back. These are things that if you think even just 20 years ago, we couldn't do without extreme expense. And so we have all of this. While all of these tools can be used for horrible things, they can be used for wonderful things to glorify the Lord as well. At the time we were there, we've got 72 supported families. And it's going to be tough for us as a church to connect with everybody. So we're going to be asking our Sunday schools and our small groups and others to take a more active role in that. That each of you would be, and we'll kind of give some direction on this as we go, that each of you would adopt some of our missionaries, that you will be the ones to make sure you're connecting in particular with those. Not that nobody else will, but that you'll be making sure that those people are connected with, cared for, and supported. Doesn't mean that the financial support all comes from you, of course. We don't want to just hear them, and we don't just want to connect with them relationally. We want to do that. We want to do something about it. So that's where we come to the third thing we can do is to pray. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. As much as human relationships, being able to connect with a missionary or with anybody, as much as that means to people, we don't have strength in ourselves to really make any difference. The strength, only God has that real power. So we faithfully turn to him on their behalf. There are things he will use people to do in healing and whatever it may be, as far as, you know, taking them to doctors, and you know, we can do things to give financial support, but the Lord is the one who makes their ministry fruitful. And so we take their needs to him on their behalf. Go back to verses 14 and 15 again. It says, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. Listen, Paul talked before that about, you know, he's here, he's talking about not having these other churches giving to him, and he's saying, listen, I'm content whether I have a lot or I have a little bit. But we, even though they may be content in those circumstances, we can pray for those circumstances to improve. We don't want to just hear that they're in humble needs and that they're content and say, thank you, Lord, that our missionaries are content in their circumstances. We want to also then pray that those things improve. And also pray as they struggle, whether they're in abundance or they're in poverty, we want to pray for their contentment in what they're doing with what the Lord's given them and what he's called them to do. But there's always just tons of needs out there, ways to be praying for our missionaries. And I've got just a few that I'm going to run through real quickly. There's going to be pretty much, you can try to write some of these down. You're not going to get to all of them. If you want to know about them, you can come and ask me afterward. But I want to tell you about a few that we learned about on our trip. Melissa Baccarella, we are praying for the salvation of her family. It is wonderful how the Lord reached her in her life when she was in the military, and how with hardly any family that knows the Lord, we're praying for them. They're also trying, she's a part of a ministry team that is trying to start a house church movement. And they want to start house churches that will then multiply and build other house churches. And they want to do this in a way that the Italian people themselves can replicate this so that we don't have to send more and more people, that a movement starts from the Italians, the people who can connect with other Italians the best way. We want to pray, too, for the mission. They go out every Tuesday and work, actually, interestingly, with a Catholic church. They're allowed to go in and then to reach the people there before they go on to meet with others in the church, people who are in need in the community. They have a jobs program. And I heard about this jobs program and the way that they're training women and available to others as well to go out in an economy that is tough. Listen, Italy, not far behind Greece right now, if you kind of know what's going on in Greece. And so there's a lot of people without jobs. And they go in and they train these people who've been out of work for a long time. What they do with them, with just one family and Melissa that are on this team, is absolutely amazing. That they go in and lives are changed and are able to reach people with not just helping them with jobs, but to connect them to the Lord as well. And the Dicks, you know, they are wanting to start an English class or a Bible study. And then Joel himself, especially with the passing of Kirby there recently, he's in need for just kind of direction, even as he's kind of taking on a new role and has to learn some of that. The Wingets, I mean, they are traveling all the time. Steve in particular is going into a lot of times dangerous places, not so much always dangerous to him, but dangerous in particular to the pastors that he's working with and training in those areas. So be in prayer for that. Cheryl is going out and she's traveling a lot, helping out missionary kids by diagnosing their learning disabilities and helping them through some of those things. Be praying for the pastors that Steve is meeting with. And it was really cool too, when, you know, I talked to you about those being in need. And when I was saying, hey, how's your support? What Steve told me was, if there was anyone whose support you were going to increase, it would be for a guy whose name I'm not going to mention since we're broadcasting over the web here, but he spoke here before recently this year. Judith and I were here, but not working here. You guys know what I'm talking about? There was a Sunday here in January where we kind of tried to sneak in. Apparently everybody knew who we were, and we just kind of sat in the back, and you had this guy speaking there. It was kind of fun. Anyway, he just needs a lot more support. Most of the people that attend his church and those people that are going to the classes, the school that he's teaching, they have little to no income. Steve's top recommendation is this guy, to give him support. He says $1,000 will fund an entire course, Bible course, for 2 weeks. And I'm not saying we'll fund it for one person for 2 weeks. $1,000 funds the course for all of the people who attend for 2 weeks. And so if you want more detail on who that is and how to get that to him, you can talk to me when we're not broadcasting these things online. For Megan McQueen, she's making a decision on kind of what her role is going to be for the next year that she's there, and then even beyond that, potentially, how long she may be in Hungary. Danae is considering that same thing, Danae Patrick, about how long she's going to be staying. The Pattons, it was great to meet them. There's a city, and I'll talk a little bit more about it soon, but next week they're starting, kind of introducing a new ministry in a city called Orisline, just a little bit further. So you kind of have this town of Estragom, about 45 minutes away, you got this town of Tata, and another 20 minutes is this town of Orisline, which I'm saying horribly, but I could probably point it out to you on a map, where they're starting another movement. And so you kind of see the gospel moving from one city to the next, to the next. Does that remind you of all of our Acts series? Kind of cool how that's happening there. In Estragom, they had been through some difficulty there, some struggles in ministry that thankfully the Lord has carried them through. But now they're pushing for growth and kind of in this new stability to see new people coming to the Lord. They've got a couple of kids who are back in the States now, and they're in college and kind of missing those kids, and so that's a tough thing for any of our missionaries to deal with. Y'all know that the Bergens are here, and while we love having the Bergens here and having their presence here, I wish you weren't, because we know that Burdett is here after the loss of his mother. But they've got some great ministry coming up with an evangelistic meeting coming up at the end of this month, and then they've got refugees. You guys heard in the news about all the refugees coming into Germany. They are just flooding in there, and they're going to be right there, able to be reached, and they're there to reach out to them. There's going to be a Christmas outreach coming up as well that you can be praying for. I met with Chuck Sly up near Vilsack. I don't remember the name of his town, but you know, he's doing a great church that's reaching out to the military there, but struggling as well, because while the church is growing and doing some incredible things and the Lord is doing great things there, Susan's health is poor and fading, and it's tough. It's tough to deal with that. For the beaches, you know that many of you know that Daylin just had surgery on her neck, and so we want to see healing from that. There is certainly a lot of pain. You know, when she's kind of turning like this at this point. The doctors say that it went well and that she should be healing well, but sometimes it's tough to believe that until you see it. We want encouragement for her as well. There's also a cool transition happening as there is a new American going over to join Dwayne in the ministry to be his assistant pastor there. So he's asking, well, of course, praise for that, but also wisdom on how to share responsibility with this new pastor coming in. Many of you know, too, that we've been praying for the Beach's son, Seattle, that he was just struggling with school and some of the relationships there, being one of the only believers, and he is doing so much better. And a lot of that has to do with, I'm sure the prayer's here, but he's been able to connect with and open up to his parents in ways that he never had before. And, of course, they were kind of overwhelmed with this, I think, at times. But it's been just incredible, and you can kind of see this new joy that's on him. So that's been a great answered prayer. We want to pray for that to continue. But it's been a tough year for that family in general, just in several ways, with family health, and just lots of different things going on. So they just need encouragement. And all of our missionaries, they all covet your prayers. And it's the same with those that we saw and that we asked about that. But it's the same as well with those that we have all around. But it goes beyond just giving and connecting and praying. As part of a faith promise, we can have the opportunity to go. Look at verse 18. Paul says, "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received," and this is the interesting part, "from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." And there's tons of great things that are happening in here, but you see again here how much the financial gift and the connection meant to Paul, and it's the same for our missionaries as well. But he had that guy Epaphroditus that was helping him out, that went and received some of that gift and brought it back. And there were several other churches that visited him and helped him along the way at various times that you see throughout Scripture. He often talked about those visits that he had, in particular while he was under house arrest and while he's in prison, and how much that meant to him. It's kind of interesting that in Roman times, it wasn't like it is now, to where our government, through our tax dollars, is paying for and caring for our prisoners. Listen, if you were in prison, there had to be somebody to take care of you. So these people were providing completely for his needs, and they came to him with those things, and they had relationships with him, and they wrote to him, but they physically were present with him many times. Listen, you can visit your missionary friends. I know that several of you here have done that. You get to know others just like we did. I mean, some of the people that we went to visit, we had already met. And some of them were brand new to us. But you can go and you can make those kind of relationships yourself. You know, we'd never met some of those people that we spent time with and we even stayed with, but they kept saying how much it meant that grace would send us to them. Even somebody that they hadn't met, how much it meant that we could go. They talked about how much the visits that some of you have made to them in the field, how much that's meant to them and encouraged them. I get that, you know, for me, yeah, it's a part of my job, but I tell you, I mean, no problem. I will take all my vacation time to go and encourage the people who are out in the mission field. It's just such a joy. And while it's encouraging to them, and I value that, it was a great blessing for us to be there as well. It was just wonderful. So we can take any of you short-term trips, like the one that we just did, or it could be something that's organized, or, you know, we're going to be putting some together over the coming years. We'll be doing more and more trips here together as a church you can join in on. There's also this opportunity. Sometimes we think of just the short-term 1-2-week trip or, okay, I'm going to go for the rest of my life kind of thing. But there are opportunities. It's not a little bit or a ton. I mean, there's opportunities in the middle. We've got a great one in Italy. If I want to show you what an opportunity is for a medium trip in Italy, we've got that video.
Hello, my name is Melissa Baccarella, and I am with ABWE Italy team. We are looking for men and women interns who will work alongside us in a grassroots church plant. As veteran missionaries, we will coach and mentor you in missional living. The intern will enroll in both language study and missional theological training, enabling them not only to observe, but also to initiate ministry based on developing language capacity, personal gifting, and opportunity. This internship is open to singles or couples for a commitment of 6 or 9 months. Please contact me for more information. We are now accepting applications for September 2016.
If you didn't have a chance to write down that email address, it's still behind me if that's something you're interested in. But if you don't have a pen or whatever, you can contact the office and we'll get you in touch with Melissa and the team over there. And they're in the Turin area, but in a town called Caselle, if that's something that you're interested in. But then, of course, there is that opportunity to go longer term. And I would guess that there may be some of you here that the Lord and, you know, the Spirit may just be working in your heart already, just kind of tugging at your heart for vocational missions for a much longer term of some kind. There's a new part of your faith promise card if you want to look at that insert in your bulletin and flip it over to the back. The front is the same as it's always been. I mean, quite literally, it's the same one that has been printed and sitting in the office for a while. But on the back, we put some parts in there for each of these areas, kind of methods of caring for missions. The front is the giving section, and there's one part down there when it comes to the go part of it. That you don't have to, that's the only part where you need to actually kind of put your name on that so that we can contact you. That's not necessarily, that one is not necessarily a commitment, but saying, hey, I'd like some more information about how I can go. And so if you put down your preferred contact method, we'll get in touch with you and let you know how we might be able to help you with whatever it is the Lord may be calling you to in that way. And it doesn't matter for any of these things. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. There's a way that the Lord can use you to go and to support these people. But even if you're not called away, even if you are called, which I'm sure most of you probably are, to stay here, you're not called just to stay here, but to live missionally here. Because the Great Commission is not just for the professionals. It's something that we're all called to do. So why would we make a faith promise? I've spent all this time talking about ways to do it, but why would we do it? Verses 19 and 20, still Philippians 4. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And here's the kicker here. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We get involved in a faith promise. We make a faith promise for God's glory to be spread and for lives to be transformed. I got just a few short stories that we picked up while we were overseas with the people that we met recently, just to tell you about some of the things that the Lord's doing. And this is just a small taste of it. In Italy, I know already that several of you have heard about this guy, Beppe, that was recently baptized there. And it is hard to see conversions in Italy. It is very controlled by the Catholic Church. But this man has come to know the Lord and was baptized. But you know what? When that happens, we talk about, you know, here, baptism, we do this right here. And a lot of times, you know, it's just our people see it, and we're excited about that. There, it's something very different. And other people will come to see it, and they realize, okay, something different is happening here. So there's this guy, Guido. His girlfriend had gone through the jobs program and started going to the Bible studies with Melissa and with her team. Guido didn't really want a part of it, but he went to Beppe's baptism, and now he's a part of the Bible study as well. Judith and I attended one of those, and let me tell you, this guy is not just there and just kind of sitting back like, okay, I'll hear what you have to say. He's in it, and I have not a clue what he was saying the whole time, but he was saying a lot of stuff, all right? He was really participating in it and didn't seem angry, but he was really interested in getting to know the Lord. This church, this team, they've got a vision for starting a church planting movement. So many people talk about we're going to plant a church, and that's wonderful. But they want, as I mentioned earlier, churches that will plant other churches. And they want to start a church planting movement with house churches. And so we got to be a part of the Bible study there that is kind of the beginning of a house church there. In Budapest, we talked about a lot of great things happening there. But Steve and Joel, they got kind of Steve Wingett and Joel Dix. They've got these, and that's the Bible study picture up there that I was talking about. But they've got kind of some bags of micro USB cards. And if you want to show kind of the picture with them with the refugees, they've got these micro USB cards that can fit into pretty much any cell phone. And they've got these adapters that can go into a computer. And they're taking these out and they're giving them to the refugees, the ones that are still there. And they may pass them on to you in Germany if you need those. On these little micro USB, the things like this big, on those, there's copies of the Bible in their language. and the Jesus film in their language, and lots of other literature and tracts and all these kind of things. And this little disc right here, they keep them in Ziploc bags. The kind of stuff to carry the hundreds of those that they have in a Ziploc bag would have taken, I have no idea how many, fully loaded suitcases to carry all of that material. And they can just go and hand them out to people. And they're not just handing them out randomly, but they're getting to know the people and seeing who's interested and then handing those resources over to them. I talked about churches in Esztergom and Tata. As you see this church in Esztergom, and then you got this other one in Tata, and now they're going to this new city in Altersline. There was this guy that we met that was named Balas, and it was really fun to meet this guy. He's just so passionate about the Lord. The cool thing that we figured out, he used to go to church with Judith in Budapest when she was there. It was really cool. But he's a guy that works for a car wheel manufacturer up in the Esztergom area. He's going to go, still doing that job, and he's going to be a part of helping to plant this new church. The guy knows his theology. His English is impeccable, probably better than mine. And he's going to go, and he's going to start this as a part of this new church. And so we can be praying for that, but it's an exciting thing that's happening. It's a town of about 20,000 people. And next Sunday, while we're meeting here in the morning, they're going to be having their first introduction and evangelistic meeting there that evening. Same, theirs is 5 o'clock, so it'll be 11 o'clock here. So right at the same time that we're meeting next Sunday morning. Cool stuff. In Germany, there's churches growing there in some really spiritually dry places. You know, Europe is just, it's a tough place, but churches are still growing. There's a church sitting, and we see the Bergens. I know the pictures aren't huge here, but that's kind of with the Bergens and Duane Beach. And then the Slys also have some great growing churches there as well. But there's this church up where Duane and Daylin are, up in Vilsack. It's a church to the military stationed there. And this church is growing, and they have this really strong team. If you want to show that picture with their team that we got to have dinner with, and that's just a small chunk of the team. We talk about sometimes just trying to get people plugged in and involved. This church has almost a complete turnover of the entire church every 2 to 3 years because they're military. Yet they have a team like this that can come together at all times. And Duane was saying that he used to get worried about this. Oh my goodness, how are we going to cover for this person who's about to get shipped away? He doesn't even worry about it anymore because he says, you know what? The Lord always provides. So these people come in, and some of them, yes, they stay on the sidelines, but a lot of them, the Lord is providing people that don't come in and figure out, oh, is this the church? Because there's not a lot of churches around, especially English-speaking churches. They come in, they get plugged in right away, and they do great work. So how do you make a faith promise? How do you help these things to continue going on? Well, first thing you want to do is pray about how to give. And as you're praying about that, open your heart. And here's the tough part. A lot of times we only want to give from our excess. Be willing for the Lord to change your heart, willing even to sacrifice. So you pray, and then you commit to the Lord, and then you commit to yourself, and then you commit to your church. You've got that card in your bulletin there. If you want to go ahead and take that card out, that faith promise card, and look through there. You see on one side that you've got opportunities, ways that you are willing to commit to give. We will give a certain amount every month or every week or every year. And like I said, you don't need to put your name on that. Once you turn it in, though, we'll at least have the amounts on there that people are committing so we can work with that over the next year. Then if you look on the back of it, that's that new section that we talked about where you can talk about, I'm going to pray for this particular missionary every day. Or I'm going to pray for, you know, this number of missionaries every week, or whatever it is that you are willing to commit to, even if it means taking away some extra time that you may have been using somewhere else. But how are you going to commit to praying for missionaries and also connecting with them? I will write a letter, send an email, contact them on Facebook, whatever you want to write in there. Just something that you might commit to in particular over the next year, 2016 is what we're talking about, for ways that you want to connect with our missionaries. And it may be a specific missionary, or you may want to systematically work your way through all of them. You may want to do just the ones that we're supporting or just the ones that we're sending. The difference there is for the ones that we are sending, this is their home church. We have a little bit of an extra connection, an extra support level for those. But just be praying about what it is that the Lord may have you do to make that commitment beyond giving of finances, but giving of more of your life and more of your time. This is how we know what we can commit to missionaries for the next year. And I would love to be able to send letters to our missionaries and saying, hey, these people are going to be praying for you. This number of people are going to be praying for you every day, every week. We want to be able to let them know about that. And so it is preferred that we would know through a faith promise rather than, like, ahead of time what you're going to give, so that we know what we've got for the next year rather than just kind of writing missions on an envelope at some time through the year. But we need that as well. Several of our missionaries talked about, you know, when I asked about support, they'd say, well, what tends to happen is we kind of run at a deficit most of the year, and then in December we get this spike that finally makes ends meet. People, that's nerve-wracking, all right? So if there is any way that you can kind of spread that out for them, that would be wonderful, but there's also extra needs that come up, so we want to keep the other giving coming in for them as well. We do have this spiritual enemy that we deal with, as well as just all kinds of distractions and difficult life situations that come up for us, right? There's stuff that happens that kind of gets in the way of commitments that we make. So it can be tough sometimes to make a commitment now for the whole next year. So how do you keep a faith promise? See, I'm not concerned so much with having the biggest faith promise that we've ever had as a church. It'd be great, but that's not what I'm concerned about. I do hope that we have more people, more families involved than ever before. And that's not as some kind of number that I just say, hey, you know what, we need to reach numbers. It's because I care about your hearts. And I want to see for myself and for Judith and for all of us, I want to see our hearts really reaching out to spreading the gospel. And I think that is just a measurement of it. So make it a habit. How do you keep a faith promise? You make it a habit. Set aside a certain time of day to pray for missionaries. You know what? Every day, just before dinner or just after dinner, or you know what? We're going to make our whole dinner, instead of talking to each other, we're just going to pray for missionaries. Whatever it may be, or maybe in the morning when you get up, or the evening, set aside a time of day that you're going to pray for missionaries. You might even make a daily prayer guide for yourself of, this is the one I'm going to pray for today, or whatever it takes. But try to find ways to make it a habit. Don't just rely on your memory. It's another one of those ways where our fun little smartphones and computers can really help out with those kind of things. Sign up. Another thing you can do is sign up for newsletters and email lists, because those newsletters and email lists will let you know how to be praying for people. You can contact the office if you don't know how to get onto a list for a particular missionary or ministry. And as I've talked about with the faith promise, give regularly instead of all at once. While it does help us in the budgeting and kind of helping the missionaries knowing kind of what to expect coming in, it also helps you if you've got, okay, every week I do this, or every month I do this, or if you set up, you know, an automatic bank draft or whatever, you can do this through the online giving online on our website here at the church. There's lots of ways to do that, but give regularly instead of all at once. If you remember 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, they talk about how the people set aside money to give. They set it aside regularly so that they could give when the opportunity came up. And so that's kind of what we're talking about. It's the same thing here in Philippians, that you set it aside so that it can be given. And so that kind of comes into this pot of the church, and then we were able to distribute that with others. Be willing to lower your standard of living if that's what it takes and if that's what the Lord is calling you to in order to raise somebody else's. And listen, there's no compulsion in this. That's a reason that, with exception of, you know, if you're talking about going, that we're not necessarily asking for your name on any of these things. This is between you and the Lord. I don't want you to feel like this is some legalistic thing. You're not earning favor with the Lord. You're not earning favor with your church. This is something that you do because you believe it's the right thing to do, that it's the best thing to do. It's just love for God and love for his people. So for yourself, are you willing to set aside some comforts of this world in order to advance God's kingdom? And listen, me as pastor, that can be as tough of a question for me as it can for anybody else. And I'm not just talking about money, about finances. I'm talking about giving up some time to pray, to read reports, even have a conversation with a missionary, and possibly even set aside some off time for visits or for mission trips. We're going to start music. If you want to come on up, we'll get this started here. We're going to have some music while you have just a few minutes to contemplate and to pray about what it is the Lord may be calling you to. And listen, during this time, I think a lot of times I talk about contemplating and praying, and we think, okay, silent, right? You don't have to be. If you've got your family around you, your spouse, and you haven't had time to think about this yet, for one thing, this is our main day for the faith promise commitment to be made. But we've got several weeks here that you can still drop those in. Really, I think through the end of the year. Somebody can correct me if I got that wrong. Yes, Fred's nodding. So through the end of the year, you can turn these things in. But you know, sometimes it's really helpful to do it in the presence. If you need to take time and just talk to your family right where you're sitting right now, that's okay if you need time to kind of figure out what you may want to do even now. All right, so after a few minutes, I'm going to call the ushers forward, and we'll sing together, and then at that point, we'll turn in commitment cards. But again, you can do that for several more weeks. But we're just going to let the music play while you guys pray and discuss these things together, and I'll come up in just a few minutes. Have the ushers come forward. I know that wasn't a ton of time there, and that's why you've got several weeks, and hopefully through the conference you've been thinking and praying about this already. You may have noticed, I don't know if this is on all the cards, it probably is because they print together, that we got it backward on the back. So what we did, we just kind of scrunched it up and just wrote really far to the right on the, and you're turning in the big part, so we just kind of wrote on that part. So sorry about that. You may need another second, and I'll babble on for a second so you can rewrite on there, so you can kind of turn in the bigger portion there, and we may reprint some of these for later as well that are done correctly. But Grace, it's time to go.